Father, as we hear your word, we are changed, we are transfigured, amen. We are blessed. Amen. Speak to us in a special way. At the amen, speak to us in a special way. Amen. Speak to us in a direct way. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Today, we are beginning a new teaching series which we have titled, This Love Matter. Tell your neighbor, This Love Matter. And you can summarize it as getting ready for a strong and lasting marriage. Please, you see this service, feel free to express yourself. I need your expressions. There is a way you express yourself, the rhema will come out properly. Yes, are you ready? Yes, okay. Luke chapter 14, verse 28 to 30. The Bible says, "For which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counted the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him." Pastor Kenny, I sent you two, one video and one picture. You will show the picture. But I want to ask first, how many people are under the age of 18 here? You are lower than 18 years old. Let me see your hand. 17. Okay. What I want to show is a little bit gory, but it won't be for long, so just hold your hearts together. So, are you ready with the picture? I want to show us something. We're going to remove it in five minutes long, Jesus, in 2 minutes. But you can dim the light so that you see it well. In 10 seconds, remove it. 10, 9, 8, 7, count with me. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Don't glory you. That woman was beaten by the love of her life. She was beaten. To the point where she could not be recognized again. Play the next video. I'm going to do a teaching later in this series called Beauty and the
I
Beast.
I had to leave my religion when they said that.
This one, I want you to hear the audio.
And I
now,
that
those of you who are angry that I'm playing the video here, this video was played on Twitter, public, so it was for the public.
I would
please put a sound. I want sound. Jesus says, which of you intending to build a marriage? Which of you intending to build a tower? Which of you intending to build a home? Sitted not down first and counted the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. Verse 29. Lest haply, after he had laid the foundation, after they have done, I do. After they have had two children. Are you with me? After they have done a grandiose wedding and is not able to finish it, and all that behold it or them begin to mock him. Verse 30. Read with me. Saying, this couple, this man, this lady, read on with me. This man began to build and was not able to finish. That will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. Lay that. Because the reason why I want to put the two, the first picture shows you that some men actually scum. And then the next video I want to play will show you that some women are witches. Wait now. Media, play this thing for me. Oh. See, media, if you don't play this thing. I know some sisters are praying seriously. It will not work. It will work. Oh. Hallelujah. Why they are working on it?
I knew.
Uh-huh. You, even if you don't see her face, just play the audio. Play the audio. Why are you working on video? Just play the audio. This is somebody that will marry. This is somebody that is saying, somebody's son will soon find me.
I knew that I had to leave my religion when they said that. I knew that I had to leave my religion when they said that leadership. And I realized that if my husband came to me with some objectives, and I disagreed with him, objectives, I would not be able to let him do the things he wanted to do. I would not be able to let him continuously and constantly torment him. I would continuously and constantly torment him until he does what I want, because I feel like I'm better. I just knew that I had to leave my religion because I just knew that I had to leave my religion because of my pride. What they call pride is what I call get rid of my pride, because let me tell you how that would play out. So say he wants to do X, but I think we should do Y. So say he wants to do X, but I think we should do Y. Because I feel like Y. And he decides that he wants to do X. I'm going to do Y regardless. And I'm going to mock him. And I'm going to taunt him. And I'm going to mock him. And I'm going to continuously quarrel him and make fun of him and literally just torment him and fun of him. And literally just torment him until I have to be submitted. That's when I realize that I can't submit. I have to be submitted. That's when I realize that there is no good solution in me.
Please, Father, this atmosphere is sanctified in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus. That is somebody that we marry. Now, somebody say, Asa, now. Please put the lights back. Did you hear the way I will torment him? And torment him. Today's sermon has been titled, Love Ready. Are you love ready? Don't. Are you with me? One of the reasons why people struggle in their love life is because they were grossly unprepared for the things that love and marriage brings to them or will bring. So they break. In this sermon, see, I want you to see why you must prepare and take it very serious. Are you with me? And for those who are even married, I want you to also see how, even though you are married, you must keep on preparing and training yourself if you will have a good love life. Are you with me? If you will have a solid love life, even after you are married, you have to keep on training yourself. Training yourself. Preparing for this thing. Getting better at it. Like the title of the sermon is called Love Ready. It's a question. We are asking you, are you love ready? The uninformed person will quickly say yes. Are you with me? And honestly, you see, most people actually underestimate what it takes to have a beautiful life. Praise the Lord. And I'm not saying any of this to taunt any of you or torment any of you. You know I love you, right?
Yes, sir.
If you don't know, know it now. Pastor David loves you. You in particular. Hallelujah. Many of us can remember when we were in secondary school. And you had that girl you liked. Or maybe that guy. that you liked so much, and if they asked you that time, can you date this girl? Yeah, me? Ah, sir. Sure, banks. Some of you even go as far as saying, I will marry her. I will marry him. Ah, you felt so in love. Some of them, now, if you saw them again, will you marry them? Some people will say yes. Some people, if your answer is still yes, wow. Wow. That means that person must be something. And if you go back to your secondary school self, and they asked you, are you ready to marry this person? Some of you will say yes. And you'll be defending it seriously. Defending it seriously, because subconsciously, we just feel like, is it not love? It's not such a big deal. It's not such a big deal. It's not such a hard thing until you experience it. Are you following me? And there is a good side to it, because, you know, God is love. The Bible says God is love. And we are made in the image and likeness of God. That's why love stories always win. You want to make a movie that will trend, just make it about love. You will have at least enough people to watch it. But you see, the sinful nature of man after the fall has corrupted man's nature and the love of God in man. Are you with me? So, quickly, why do people enter into their love life unprepared? Number one, pressure. And you can call it societal pressure. Please, are you with me? The voices are reducing. Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
How was your Valentine yesterday? Those that did not miss strife, at least they had something to love about, something to rejoice about. Personally, well, maybe I should not be using myself as an example. Can I tell you the honest truth? I have never been pressured. It's not a big deal. But I knew it's a big deal for people when I was in the university. Valentine's Day. People are buying flower for the person that they are dating. One guy go buy iPhone. Buy iPad. He just, that guy just made all the other guys, you know, somebody got angry and said, now man, the woman. Ah! In school, oh! If you, so, one guy was so angry, he came and met me. He says, if he's buying iPad now, by 500 level, you go and buy a car. I said, why is he paining you? He said, he's paining me. After that scenario, a lady walked up to me and was crying bitterly. Then I was a spiritual leader also in school. I don't have a family. Since I entered the school, nobody has walked up to me and told me he likes me. Am I not fine? I said, it's not that deep. Auntie, you are in 200 level. It's not that deep. Pressure. Societal pressures. Movies. Social media. Family. Friends. Sometimes age. And I'm going to talk about this small before I move to the next point. See, can I be honest with you? The movies lied to us about love. They lied. Ragia. They lied. Then the ones that are ringing now, Bam Bam and Co. Love in every word. Hey. They lied, though. The movies made us believe that this love matter is a plug and play affair where once you meet, everything just supposed to click. Bah! You know, just cliche scenarios in love movies, especially those high school movies. The girl is working with some books. Then the guy is coming. And he's looking somewhere. Then he now hits her and the books now fall. Then two of them, in an unplanned yet redeeming manner, they bend down to pick the books together. And then as they are picking the books, their eyes just jam. And their fingers touch. Then the camera starts spinning. Then the music will now. What's going on in that beautiful mind? I am your magical mystery. You know it. Hey! My head underwater. You go die, yo. But you know, they're just. From that, as their eyes just jammed, they just know I was meant for you. You were meant for me. From there, it just keeps on going and going. Then they have one small quarrel. And then, after the quarrel, the guy runs away from his house saying, no, I can't live without her. I can't live without her. Runs back. And by the time you now grow and start your own, it's not playing like that. You now have expectations in your mind that the human being does not even know anything about. Are you following me? They make it look so easy. Whereas, this thing, there is work involved. There is patience involved. There is maturity involved. There is training involved. Are you with me? And we have to be careful with the media these days, though. Everybody is giving relationship advice, including the devil. Just set podcast and mic and start talking. Like the one we're just watching now. Some people is family. When will you go and marry? What are you still doing in this house? What are you still doing in this house? Sometimes it's important they pressure you, especially for the guys. Especially for the guys. There are some people, they are no longer bachelors, they are manchelos. Some guys, I don't know. It's because some ladies are giving them free food. That's why. Free attention. You just go to a house and you're just talking. She'll offer you something and you don't see the need. And let's not fight. It's too early in the series. There are some guys, but don't rush into something you know that you are unsure of and unprepared for. Both as male and female, are you with me? Don't rush into something you know you are not ready for. Some people rush in when they know there is something wrong. Like I said, I'm going to do a teaching later. Beauty and the Beast. Glaring red flags that you must not ignore. Some people, the man is a beast, but you are saying, don't worry, I'm Beauty and the Beast. Just the same way that story happened. I want to replay. They go chop you in. Some ladies, don't worry, I will change him. I will change her. Don't worry, I can tame him. Is your name Tame? So, sorry if this does not sound like a normal sermon. I'm preaching, oh. Please, are you with me? Some people is age. Now, age is a factor in marriage, oh. There are some misbehavior that if you grew a little older, you have more sense. Age is a thing and should be considered. But don't let your age get to the point of desperation where you just feel like I should marry anybody. And for the both sides, both male and female, have you seen some men when they are like 39 or 42? You say, I just want the woman I can marry. They will now tell their mother, find one girl for me. I'm ready to settle down. They are not planning to see somebody they can take care of. They are just finding someone that will help fill that resume. I'm now married. Are you with me? They are not looking for someone that they can grow with and raise a future together. They are just looking for someone that, you know what, now I'm a settled man. You know, my containers are now working. Things are, the business has expanded. You know, the only thing missing in my life right now is a woman. And as a man of my age, I need to settle down. So, you now marry one witch. All the tin, all the wate gold that you made, everything will scatter. Or for the ladies, I don't need to explain that one. You people know, right? We're pressuring you. Hey, just marry him now. Just marry him. Your mind is seeing things that is proud. But just marry him. No, don't just marry him. Learn to count the cost. Tell your neighbor, count the cost. Look with your eyes open. Do some learning. That's the first reason why people go into love unprepared. The second reason, now this one is very important for church people. For us as a church, the second reason why people enter into love and relationships and marriage unprepared is over spirituality. See after me, over spirituality. I'm sure you are shocked that you are hearing this from a pastor. Yes. Some people believe that if God said it, it must work. Supernatural relationship. God orchestrated our steps. I was in a vision. I was praying. See, it's even God that led me into this thing. See, one of the ways I know there is a problem is when I ask people about your convictions and everything you say, God told me. And now, God must help you. And we'll get to that, choosing with God. But when you have no other basis for conviction, it is just God said, God showed, I had dreams, I had... The problem with that is not that there is anything wrong with following God's leading. It is that sometimes, in the name of following God's leading, you can excuse yourself from the preparation and the training required because you believe that if God has said it, it must work automatically. It's still that same plug and play effect. Yes, sir. Are you with me? Yes, sir. You just think that, oh, if God said she's my wife, or God said she's my husband, or God brought us together, bam, it will just work. No. Adam and Eve that supposedly look like God brought them together, the first couple that God inaugurated had problems. How much more you? What makes you think that you will not face issues in your love life that you need to walk through? Some of you, if the person you married makes you leave Eden, that's divorce. Say, before you come, I did okay, oh. I was fine, oh. Now you go show off. Now you go to talk with Satan. See. As you are leaving, he said, don't worry. Let's leave this place first. As you are leaving God's presence, say, don't near me, Eve. Don't name me like this. The first couple had problems. And God brought that one out of him. Oh, bone of bone. This is actually the bone of bone. Flesh of flesh. And you think you, in that your queer relationship, where Fabs is his sweet pass. I'm sorry. Your love is your relationships are blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. The ways of you are not responding. I say it is blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. You are angry with me. Oh yeah, sorry. Sorry. You may think that all because God said it will just work. Let me show you another one in the New Testament. You know, some people say, if God just speaks from heaven, my son, my daughter, I was the one that brought both of you. I'm the foundation of this relationship. Let me give you an example in the Bible. In Acts chapter 13, verse 2, the Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Saul is the same person. For the work whereunto I have called them. So, God brought them together as ministry partners. Are you with me? Yes, sir. The Bible says in verse 3, and they laid hands on them and sent them forth. Some years down the line, in chapter 15 of this same book of Acts, there was a quarrel between the two people that God said, separate them unto me. Call them together. They had a quarrel. What was the quarrel about? Barnabas said, I want to carry John Mark on this missionary journey. Paul said, no. John Mark is a sly. The last time we carried him, he left us halfway in the walk. Don't carry him again. But Barnabas, as a good man, with a good heart, said, you know what? John Mark will follow us. You know, this was the same Barnabas that carried Paul when everybody don't want to believe in Paul. Are you with me? Barnabas said, I will carry John Mark. But Paul said, no, don't carry John Mark. The Bible says in verse 39, the contention was so sharp. I read it. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. Does not remind you what God has joined together. Let no man put asunder. This one, God said, separate two of them unto me. He joined them together like this, but God had put them asunder. So that means, even though God said both of you will be together, you must learn conflict management. You must, are you with me? You must learn how to forgive. You must learn how to understand. Ask your neighbor, are you ready for love? Ask them again, are you love ready? Number three, why do people go into love unprepared? Emotional pressure. You see this one? Oh, everybody I believe should can relate with this one. You know that statement? This love is carrying me where I don't know. It's sweeter than pigeon. The love they carry me where I don't know. Hey, you know sometimes the way these things happen, they are strange. You meet somebody, you will just click, bam. You see the person, your heart will jump, boom, boom, boom. Your conversations just seem like hand in glove. Everything. And you within 2 days, it's like you've known the person for 2 years. Now you want to talk to the person morning to night. You know how these things happen. The person may also be feeling that way. Before you know what's happening, you are going for ice cream dates. You are going to eat shawarma. You are going to... You are doing pizza. You walk from here to there. Walk back. When I was about to get married to my wife, love sometimes can make you move. Who is that sister talk shouting there? I will escort her back to our parents' house. She will escort me back to the junction to take a car. I want to say, I cannot just leave you here. Let me escort you back to the house. One day, when we did that thing 6 times, I just said, see. Let's sense, follow us. Let's go back home. Emotional pressure. Sometimes, it may be infatuation. But the Bible says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, it says, the heart of a man is deceitful. Your heart can deceive you. Have there been times where you met somebody that you felt you really liked? You loved so much. This person, nobody is better than this person. As you started talking to the person on a closer level, you started seeing things like, you say, thank God, oh, thank God I did not commit early. Thank God. Thank God I did not overshow that I'm very serious. Ah, is this what I would have gotten myself into? You know, somebody said, follow your heart, but take your brain along. Know when to tell yourself, calm down. When you see yourself going in love, just tripping. Say, I don't know, I'm just tripping for it. You feel for trip, break head. But I can't help falling in love with you. You feel for break your bone. Let to say, calm down. I know everything looks perfect. I know everything looks beautiful. Everything is just working fine already. Calm down. Tell your neighbor, calm down. Some of you have heard me say that quote. If you get what you want, will you want what you get? Emotional pressure. Sometimes you tell yourself, take a step back. Check. Check. Hallelujah. And finally, on this Why people go into relationships and love unprepared? It's just a process of proportion. They don't really know what it entails. They don't really know the weight of the responsibility. We just oversimplify it. Matters they owe. Like emotional pressure we even talked about just now. There is a way, before you know, you ask somebody, are you dating him? You say, it's complicated. When you hear that thing, it's complicated. Sometimes it can be complicated. It's a situationship. Because now, he has not said anything. You have not agreed to anything. But you have become so close, people feel like you are doing something. Everybody is quiet. Everywhere face blow. Because they know that our pastor came for us. This is the truth. Sometimes it can be so complicated, you don't even know how to start the conversation. What are we? No, we are pencils in the hand of the Creator. But a poor sense of proportion. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 31 to 32. Let's read it. It says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Verse 32. He says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. God speaking through the Apostle Paul. He says that this love matter is a great mystery, but you think you can just wink it? Something the Bible calls a mystery. Do you think you can just understand it carelessly? Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
That means I will prepare. I will build a beautiful home. Some of you are not talking. Even if you join us and talk, even if you don't want to marry, say after me, I will prepare. I will build a solid home with solid children. I will have a model marriage. My home will be a model for others to follow. I'm not hearing sound from this. Are you even sleeping? Say after me, in the name of Jesus, I build a solid home. Glory. Matthew 19, verse 1. Says, I am blessed. Matthew 19, from verse 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came to the coast of Jordan, of Judea beyond Jordan. Verse 2, read on with me. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. Verse 3, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Now, mark that word, for every cause. Because in those days, men had so much authority and autonomy. You can just wake up and say, you know what, I don't like this one, I'm done. For the flimsiest of reasons, there were some times, if you read medieval times, people gave out their wives to pay debt. So, maybe a man is owing like ₦1,000,000. Then the person is owing, says, you know what? I know you cannot pay. Just give me your wife for like 3 months. Everything a wife does, she will do. She will sleep with him. She will cook for him. And many times, it was said, many of those men gladly give their wives. For every cause. And that same spirit is still with us today. And this one is both male and female. There are some people, They look for the flimsiest reasons to discard people. People are like objects to them. They claim they like this girl. They go somewhere. They see somebody whose breast is bigger. No, this one. Then they will now find one rubbish thing to explain why they want to break up the other one. Am I talking? All kinds of, both male and female. He did not buy me Valentine's gift. We are done. I'm done. He did not do this, I'm done. Every month, I'm done. Are you food that they are cooking? They just handle people anyhow. You just handle people anyhow. He says, is it lawful for us to put away our wives for every cause? Is it lawful to put away our husbands for every cause? Now, see what Jesus said. The Pharisees. Jesus said, and he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made him male and female. In fact, that reminds me, I want to say something. Please stop body shaming people. Based on what I just said, stop telling people you are too slim, you are too fat, you are too... Stop it. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Stop making people feel worthless about themselves based on how they look. Both for male and female. You just look at a guy and say, your mate have six packs, your dry chest like fry pan. See, when your mates are building six packs, is it this thing? What is this? A girl did that thing to me once. I almost changed it for her. See what she did come. And to her, she was playing. She said, what is this? Then in school, I said, see, if you touch my chest again, then see. Don't do that. Don't tell your neighbor, don't body shame people.
Don't body shame people.
Stop it. Even for the married couples, stop body shaming your wife. People took a vow to till death do us part. Stop. She's beautiful and wonderfully made. And he is beautiful and wonderfully made.
Yes, sir.
The ladies did not say amen. Ah. Let me not face you. In Jesus' name. Look at what Jesus said, verse 4. He says, and he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Verse 5. And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife and shall be one flesh. So he's telling you that this thing is sacred. It's not God that said it to be male and female and bring them together. This is a sacred thing. It's not something you just jump in and jump out whenever you want. It's not cereal. Okay, I will take conflicts today. No, I will take Rice Krispies. No, I will take Kellogg's. It's not something that you just toss around like that. This is a sacred thing. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Some of you are not responding. Are you with me?
Yes.
Verse 6, we are still learning. Amen? It says, therefore there shall no more be twain, but one flesh. What therefore hath God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Verse 7, and they said unto him, okay, they said, okay, Jesus, we have heard you. So if this is what God's perspective is, that you cannot just put away your wife whenever you want, why did Moses give us a command to write a writing of divorcement? If you want to put her away, then see Jesus' answer. Verse 8. Everybody read verse 8. 1, 2, 3, go. And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wife, but from the beginning, it was not so. He was saying, Moses allowed you to put away your wife because of the hardness of your heart. You too wicked. You are too hard. Some of you are too wicked to be married. Am I talking to you?
Yes, sir.
Some people are too hard to be married. You don't know how to forgive and you want to marry. You always want to have your way. You are the Alpha and Omega. This babe, this lady, it is well. You can never accept you are wrong. You know that thing they used to do on is it Instagram? They write, this person, you are wrong. But say, I'm sorry. This person, you are wrong. But the person we told it, the person that was actually right to say, actually, I think I'm wrong. Sorry. They can never accept. They must win. You are too wicked. That's why you are weak in marriage. Clock it. Some of you, your hearts, they make you angry, you are boiling, you are thinking, I don't want to stab him now. I just feel like killing him now. I just feel like... People do that. People have ended their life prematurely because of the spouse they married. Both male and female. Now, look at the response of the people. Let's go on. So, but because of the hardness of your heart. Verse 10, verse 9. Everybody read what his disciple said. His disciple say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. Are you seeing? When they saw what was really involved, they were like, you know what? Maybe I'm not yet ready. Tell your neighbor, it is sacred. Love is sacred. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Ephesians chapter 5. It says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. See, that's a huge tax. Can you love someone to the point where you can die for the person? That's Bible. And then he says to the woman, you will submit to your husband the way Christ, the way the church submits to Christ. And I know that because of the bad experiences of some women, submission is not, they don't just want to hear it. They don't just want to hear it. But it's still God's idea. That's why you have to listen to this man and open your ears so that you will marry the right person you can submit to. I personally believe that women are not against submission. Pastor Fit, help me handle these girls now. I think when a woman sees a man that is actually leading, they submit. That is why it is easy for ladies to follow a pastor that is really making progress. A pastor that is really leading and inspiring. And you get what I'm trying to say? For the married couples in this church, your pastor is not before your husband, though, please. Your husband is before your pastor. Not you are giving your pastor food, you kneel down and do like this. But your husband, I got chuck, take their chop. No, no. Not the ladies of New Breed. Amen. Don't worry. I need your hypo, but don't finish all in this service. We have a long way to go. Hallelujah. So quickly, I've showed you four reasons why people get into love unprepared. So why should you prepare? Number one, it's a long-term commitment. It's a long-term commitment. You will be more married than you have been alive. Even if you get married at the age of 40, which I don't pray for anybody. If you get married at the age of 40 and you and your spouse are married for 60 years, we have long life, amen? That means you will be more married than you have ever been alive. People know that they should prepare for their career. They should prepare for their future career, their future job, and all of that. And rightly so. But something that will take the most part of their life, they just think, I can just make guessworks around it. No. Tell your neighbor, prepare. Oh, yeah, tell your neighbor like this. In this series, I will learn and prepare. I will learn and prepare. Amen. Number two is a sacred institution. And I've talked about that earlier, right? It's a sacred institution. So, what are the basic preparations to make? There are many, so we cannot touch all of them in this service. I'll just talk about one or two. We'll close. And then, in subsequent teachings, put in your all. I may have to catch up with the volume of what is to be covered, I may have to put some YouTube teachings. Are you with me? This year, I want to address things like how to date, etiquette of Christian dating. There are so many guys. How do you know a girl likes you? Don't assume. There is a way to know. They're like, yeah. There's a way to know. Not in this service. That's why you come for that service. There are some guys you meet me, you tell me, I say, guy, that girl no like you. It's a pastor. No, I say, gee, don't worry, you go and collect breakfast. Then I need to also teach you how to eat breakfast. Because there is a how. You can eat it wrongly. And are you with me? People are wondering, what am I saying? How do you handle breakup? When somebody says, I don't want you, how do you handle it? We have to talk about that. So there are so many things to talk about, right? Yes, so what are the basic preparations to make for love? Number one, purpose and assignment preparation. You know, in our last teaching series, we talked about following God's plan for your life, purpose, and all of that. But you see, you need to have a life before finding a life partner. Purpose and assignment preparation. You need to know, where am I going to? If they ask you, what will your life look like in 10 years' time? You should be able to explain. For instance, I personally think, until you are sure of what you will spend the rest part of your life doing, you don't need a life partner. And this should influence the time you should start thinking about dating, love, or marriage. You know, I grew up in church. And at some point, I was a minister in what you can call the teenage ministry. And there was one question that I never understood why people kept asking it. You will see teenagers, 15 years, 16 years, that are not even sure of the next meal to eat. They don't know how it will come. They just know that they will give me. You are asking, when is the right time to date? I know you are developing, your hormones are rising and everything. But listen, you will see a guy of that age, when is the right time to date? If they dash you the girl, can you take you over? Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
If they dash you, even if there was love, hunger will drive the love far. So the right time to begin to think about dating and love is when I've gotten to the point where I know this is where I'm going to. I know what the future will look like. I know what my assignment is. I have found purpose in God. Are you with me? I have found myself in God. And I can begin to build from here. Genesis 2 verse 18. God came to Adam and said, it is not good that the man should be alone. You know, it was not Adam that said, I want a wife. It was God that said, it is not good for the man to be alone. What kind of man did God say it was not good for him to be alone? A man that God had found, or had found God. Are you with me? A man that God had given assignment. Are you with me? And was busy pursuing the dream of God for his life. It was that kind of man that God said, it is not good that this man should be alone. There are some men, there are some ladies, God is saying, leave them all. Am I talking?
Yes,
there are some people that even if they go and meet God and say, Lord, you know, God said, not now. See, you need to be very alone. You need to be alone right now. Am I with you? You are in 100 level, entering 200 level. You still have two carryovers. And you are saying, God showed me that he will be my... he's asking me out. Let's date. Carry the carryover before you carry the relationship. Some of you are wondering, Pastor, I've been a minister of the gospel for a while, at least for almost 2 decades. I'll go and preach in university. And you see, a lady asking me, Pastor, how do I balance my relationship with my academics? How do I... I said, come closer. What do you mean? How do I, you know, and I asked them, are you, is this sponsoring you? And even that one, there's still a lot to say about it. Say, no, he's in 100 level with me too. Hey, auntie. Nobody should be that. Praise the Lord. Number two. And this one, we can't finish it obviously today. I'll just mention it. We'll continue when we continue. Either midweek service or the YouTube. But I think midweek service, we are talking about walking in love as a believer, which is very important. If you don't know that one, you will not learn this one. Are you with me? But God will help us. The second one, emotional and character preparation. Can you say after me, emotional and character preparation? You want to love somebody. Have you even loved yourself first? You know, in mathematics, they say half plus half equals one. Not in marriage. Oh. In marriage, it is one plus one equals one. It is only two whole people that will make a whole marriage. But two broken people will break themselves. Am I talking to you? When you see that some people, they don't like the way they look. They don't like, they just feel like there's something wrong with them. When they look at themselves in the mirror, they just feel. So they are looking for someone to attach validation to. Are you with me? They are not happy about themselves. They don't have any self-worth. So they are looking for someone to draw that self-worth from. And when the person is not forthcoming, they break and break badly. So, you know, they say before you deal, heal. Heal before you deal. Are you ready emotionally? Have you loved yourself? Have you enjoyed your own company first? Praise the Lord. And then character. Are there characters in your life that everybody is complaining about? But only you say no. That, no, I don't know why everybody does. Me, this is how I am. The last person you dated complained about it. Two people complained about it. And you still feel you can go on like that. No, check well. Character preparation. Emotional and character preparation. There's still so much to say about emotional and character preparation. There are many things to say. You know, when coming to service today, there's a place that, in the name of Jesus, my former car used to stop. It has stopped there so consistently, when we were driving a different car that a brother just said, Pastor, use. We were driving that part as we were passing that place. See, to be honest, I started feeling that way, like, God, let this cannot stop. Oh. Let this cannot stop. Oh. Then I had to remind myself, this is a different car, sir. Then it dawned on me what trauma looks like. See, a person with trauma can spoil even what is good. All of us, even me, we are victims of trauma. Trauma will make you see what the person is not doing. It will make you hear what the person is not saying. So, have you healed from those things? I pray for you. You will build a solid home.
Amen.
You will build a solid home.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
If you are blessed, shout glory.
Glory.
Jump on your feet. Let us pray. Raise your hands and say after me, in the name of Jesus. My home. My love life is built on the rock. I will marry well. I will love well. And build a solid home. I will make God proud with my life. With my love life. I will make God proud with my love life. Can you begin to pray right now? I want you to pray. Pray.